Today's episode of the City of Smack podcast on the City of Smack podcast network is brought to you by Whoop. Whoop is a fitness wearable that provides 24/7 personalized insights around your sleep, recovery, and daily activity. So whether you're looking to break 5 minutes for the mile or just looking to run your first 5K, Whoop has helped runners of all backgrounds train smarter and recover faster so that they can get to the starting line healthy and hit those new PRs. I've been wearing my Whoop since December 2019, which is so long now that I've got 10 lines on both of my wrists to show my love for it. On one side, I've got my GPS watch, and then on the other, I've got my Whoop, which weighs absolutely nothing, and it's not about splits or mileage, but rather the other 23 hours of the day when your body's getting ready for that next run. It's completely different from your standard GPS watch because every day it gives you a personalized recovery score based on things like your resting heart rate, sleep, and respiratory rate, so you actually know if you're going to crush those track repeats and if the legs are feeling good. The app has built-in features like a strength coach so you can see how hard you're pushing your body every day, and you can set goals based on your body's recovery. Overtraining and injuries are huge problems for every runner, but Whoop can help you reduce those risks by listening to the underlying factors that affect your performance. The sleep coach, which is my personal favorite, provides you with personalized sleep recommendations based on the previous night's sleep and how active you were over the course of the day. And you should know that a runner's best way to combat injury is by getting quality sleep. For me personally, it's done wonders because it tells me, hey, get to bed by this time and wake up by this time, and maybe you'll be fully recovered for your workout. And as it gathers more data, it helps really tailor all of that information to your body's needs so that you can perform better. So listen up, because Whoop is offering 15% off with the code CITIUS at checkout. All you got to do is go to Whoop, that's WHOOP.com, and enter CITIUS at checkout to save 15% off. Sleep better, recover faster, and run faster. Get to the starting line healthy with Whoop. Shout out to all the supporters on Patreon who keep this show going strong and all of the other projects over at City of Smack. Throw us a couple bucks, whether it's a dollar, $5, or $10. Thank you to everyone who has done so. Your help allows us to pull off events like the Trials of Miles Kansas City Qualifier, which was viewed by more than 30,000 people on YouTube last time I checked. So thanks to Joel Wagner for joining the efforts over at Patreon. You can be just like Joel and sign up over at patreon.com/cityusmag. You can also show your support for us by picking up a crew neck, sweater, t-shirt, tank top, or more over at cityusmag.com and hitting the merch tab. Just in time for the summer, rep City of Smack. My guest for today's episode is Colleen Quigley. She was previously a guest on the show back in February 2018. Now she's back with some news. After 5 years of training with the Nike Bowerman Track Club, she announced that she was leaving the team back in January. Under coach Jerry Schumacher and Pascal Dobert, the FSU grad became one of the best U.S. female steeplechasers and has made every U.S. national team since the 2015 World Championships. She's the third fastest U.S. steeplechaser ever with a 9:10 PR. She's run 4:03 for 1500 and 4:20 for the mile. She is now coached by Portland State's Josh Stites and will be running for Lululemon. That's the big news. That's her new sponsor. You'll hear all about the decision and more. So without further ado, here is Colleen Quigley.
Quigley, how am I sounding?
Oh, perfect. Awesome. All right.
Cool.
Let's do this. All right. And I'm now joined by Colleen Quigley here in New York City. We are at the beautiful Hoxton Hotel in Brooklyn. Colleen, is this your favorite city?
I was just going to say my favorite city in the world. Probably.
So what brings you to New York City? We are recording this in late April, but holding it for a special announcement. Do you want to break the news to...
Yeah, it feels so weird to be saying this when I'm not talking about it right now. But when this episode comes out, I will have already broken the news on my own page that my new sponsor is Lululemon.
How did this come about?
Yeah, it's actually so wild. So when I decided to leave or basically decided not to take the offer from Nike. Like, you know, it just kind of went, we went back and forth, and they made a best and final. And I just said, you know, it's not enough, and just decided to walk away. That was like end of December, beginning of January. And at that time, walking away, knowing that I didn't have anything else in hand, you know, like I wasn't like, okay, I'm walking away and saying no to this, and I'm saying yes to this other offer. So at the time I was like, no, and just kind of trusting that something else was going to be there, which is really like a, that was just kind of a, yeah, it was scary. I felt good about it in a lot of ways, but also just like, I hope I'm not making a huge mistake right now.
It's interesting because this is one of the, does it feel weird that it's one of the most anticipated like sponsorship announcements within the sport? And like, what does that really tell you, I guess, about what it is that fans care about when it comes to sponsorships? Because I sort of think of it as like, sure, athlete X announces that they'd signed with shoe company, you know, Y. Does that necessarily mean that all of a sudden these fans are going to all buy that product? Maybe in the day or two that, you know, after the announcement follows, but I guess like, what have you made about the anticipation that people have had towards this announcement? It's looking closely at your Instagram as to like, what shoes is she wearing there?
And the
like,
shoe thing is so funny.
I think she's wearing this jacket and all that kind of stuff. And so what have you kind of made about that little extra bit of attention over the past month, a couple months?
Yeah, I think, you know, mostly it just means a lot to me that people care enough to ask and wonder. And like, they send me DMs all the time, like, what's your new sponsor? I'm like, do you really think I'm going to like spill the beans to you over a DM? But no, it's just really sweet that people care and are excited about it. And I, you know, I made a big deal about leaving the Bowerman Track Club, not necessarily a big deal about leaving Nike, but about leaving my team and mm-hmm. my coach and, you know, my training partners. That to me was, that was the only hard part of it, was that was my community and my support system. And, you know, I've had a lot of success there, and I've trusted kind of my career to Jerry and Pascal and then Shalane, and I helped build the Bowerman Babes. Like mm-hmm. I was one of the founding Bowerman Babes and helped kind of build that brand and that team and stuff. So like that part was really hard, but it was really cool to see. I got so much positive feedback from, I like wrote an open letter to the team and kind of didn't really explain a ton about like why, you know, why I was leaving, but that this was the best thing for me mm-hmm. and yada yada, and just the support that I got from that, like all the positive, like we're with you wherever you go from here kind of messages, was that felt really good and made me feel like, okay, they care about me as a person and like, you know, my journey. And it's not, I mean, they don't like love Nike and that's why they mm-hmm. you know, followed me. It was because of me. And so they'll go with me wherever I go, which was cool.
We'll get to the why as to, you know, behind a lot of this change. But it's crazy. 7 years with the Bowerman Track Club just kind of flew by.
It was like 5.5, but yeah.
Was it 5.5?
I thought it was, I graduated in 2015.
Okay.
And so I signed that summer. And then, so it was a three-year contract with two extension, like 3.5-year contract with 2 extension years. Mm-hmm. And they took both extensions.
I thought it was a little bit longer for some reason, but
5.5, still a long time, but yeah.
What it came down to in, when you announced that you were leaving, the biggest question mark was sort of that this was happening in an Olympic year.
Yeah.
And I guess in conversations I've had with people, what you're led to wonder is how will an athlete respond when mm-hmm. all these things and these pieces that led to success previously are sort of stripped down, and now you have to rebuild sort of that support staff mm-hmm. from scratch. This, you know, started with you, you know, picking a new coach and now a new sponsor, and the training partner situation is still sort of like up in the air. Mm-hmm. Was there a little bit of trepidation, you know, after you made the concrete decision that hey, I'm making this big change in a year where it's the most to a lot of the athletes, the most important.
Yeah, it was. I mean, if I had to like pick a time to make this change, it would not be 6 months before the Olympic trials and the Olympics. Yeah, but it was. It's kind of one of those things where I think Alexi Pappas told me this, like, you, when change is happening, like, you don't get to choose mm-hmm. when that next big move happens. And if you say, okay, I'm not ready for this big change right now, like, I don't want it to happen right now, I'm going to wait, well, then the opportunity is going to pass you by. And when you're ready for it, it's not there anymore. It's not an option anymore. Mm-hmm. And so you have to make the decision of like, okay, am I going to do it kind of before, just before I'm really ready? Or do I let, you know, kind of wait and stay in my comfort zone and let it pass me by and then always wonder like, what if I had like taken that leap? And so, yeah, that's kind of how it happened. But honestly, the other thing that made it possible, that made me be like, I can actually do this, is if I had to go work with a coach that I'd never worked with before, who didn't know me, or maybe didn't know the steeple, and, you know, maybe didn't live in Portland, so I had to like work remotely with that person or move to a new place, mm-hmm. that I don't think that would have probably tipped me over the edge of like, that's too scary. But the lucky thing was I had an opportunity to work with someone who I know, who has coached me before, who I work really well with, and who I've stayed in contact with, Coach Seitz, or I just call him Josh, ever since I graduated. Mm-hmm. So, he moved to Portland right after I graduated. He, was coaching me. So Coach Seitz was coaching me my senior year at Florida State. He took over when Coach Harvey, who coached me the 3 years before that, stepped down. Mm-hmm. And so we worked together really well that last year. I won the national title, and then he coached me when I went to Beijing. And then he moved to Portland. And so then he was coaching at Portland State, and I volunteered to be his assistant coach for the past 5 years. And so it just felt like that was so natural to go back to working with him. He's always been there whenever I've gotten injured. I needed someone to like, you know, talk about training with, or talk about like why this injury may have happened or whatever. And he's always been there. So that made it a lot less scary and a lot less like, mm-hmm. everything's new, everything's different. And then I think the other piece of the puzzle is just having a sponsor that you feel like has just got your back, and that you don't have to, yeah, it's a new sponsor, but it almost, if it was someone that I was afraid of, or I felt like I had to like really work to please, or like, if I don't make this team, it's going to be like the end of everything. Like, that's not really the case here. Like, they see me as a whole person and they're bought in for the whole journey. So it doesn't feel like as much pressure there either. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. I think a lot of different things made it easier to make that decision. And the last thing I'll say about that is that when I thought about not doing it, I literally imagined myself signing another Nike contract for another four years with an extension year, for I could potentially be in Portland for the next 5 years doing what I'm doing long distance with my boyfriend, training with the team, stuck in an injury cycle, like sign myself up for that again. And I was like, nope, can't do it. Like, mm-hmm. it was like so clear that I was like, I cannot do this for another 4 years, that then it just was like, well, then I have to, you know, yeah. I have to change.
How far in advance did you sort of start to anticipate, you know, the change? Because I guess like, yeah. the way these contracts work most times, it's like they expire December 31st and then January 1st is a brand new thing. And looking at sort of from Instagram, it was like you were with the Bowerman team, mm-hmm. in December. And
in January, I went to altitude camp with them. Yeah. It was in the middle of altitude camp, and they made their best and final offer, Nike did, and I turned it down. And the next day I got an email from them saying, all right, then you no longer can train with the team. You can't have access to the coaches, can have access to training or treatment, trainers, or, you know, budget, mm-hmm. funds. Like, luckily I wasn't staying with the team. Kevin and I had a separate housing arrangement, and so we were paying, like, the team wasn't paying for my housing at altitude, or else that would have been pulled right away.
Yeah, the key code wouldn't have worked for you.
Yeah, like, it was 24 hours. They were like, you're cut off. It's like, all right. But I was prepared for that. I was like, I knew that they were going to play it like that. Like, it's just how they operate, you know? So I was like, all right, that's fine. Like, I prepared for this, and, you know, it's like time to move on. Mm-hmm. But I also had been thinking about it I mean, I had been thinking about the whole year. At the end of 2019, I had started thinking about, you know, do I want to keep doing this? Mm-hmm. And I was in negotiations. I ended up, the agent that I had used coming out of college, I ended up firing him a couple years later because we just didn't see eye to eye on, honestly, like my value and my value outside of running and like what my potential was outside mm-hmm. of just a shoe contract. Like I thought, I always have thought I could do more. I can do more. I can do more. And like traditional track agents are like, let's do a shoe deal. And then we'll like chill out for a while. And I was like, collect my money and like do my thing. And I was like, no, that's not how this works. So we ended up parting ways and I've just been representing myself. And so I was negotiating with Nike directly myself. And I would say pre-pandemic, everything was like, all right, going to sign up for another 4 years at the same rate that I'm mm-hmm. at, like just run it back. And I was cool with that. I was like, all right, yep. Like I'm going to keep making the same that I've been, I've earned bonuses throughout the last 4 years and you kind of accrue like a new base rate. And I'm like, I'm just going to stay there and keep growing. Right. Yeah. Like I can do that. And I was having a really interesting conversation with Coach Blue. He's one of the Nike Run Club coaches. I was in LA a couple weeks ago, and he also is not with Nike anymore. And I had this moment with him where I was like, honestly, this is kind of embarrassing to say, but like if COVID hadn't happened and if that whole negotiation that we were having hadn't gotten completely derailed because of COVID, I would have just signed on for another 4 or 5 years without, like, I would have just signed me up. Let's go around the merry-go-round again without really like thinking about, mm-hmm. is this truly what I want? Is this making me happy? Is this the best choice for me? I would have just kept going. And he was like, yeah, me too. Like he had a similar story to me of that they, you know, were not valuing him the way they should. And he ended up saying, no, I'm walking away. I deserve more than this. And we both were like, God, if something had to like, something had to happen to like click us out of like just doing what you're doing, you know, before you're like, wait, why am I like, this isn't right for me. But it was almost like this at the time, it seemed horrible. But looking back, I was like, thank God that happened because I would have just been still doing a long distance relationship and like just doing the same thing. And if it wasn't the right thing, like it almost turned out to be lucky that it happened.
What do you think it was that conversation that just opened your eyes to those other opportunities that are out there for athletes within track? Because I mean, you've done a tremendous job of marketing yourself just over the years, and you know, I look at it too. I made a comment about this like in a newsletter that I wrote not too long ago, where I saw, you know, a company had run an ad with, you know, a reality TV contestant, and it's sort of like that ad to get on that person's feed probably cost you a bit of what it would have maybe cost to like support an athlete. And Kyle and I think had an extensive conversation about this, about how the athletes themselves have to be the influencers mm-hmm. or else they're going to lose those opportunities sort of to influencers. Now, in kind of breaking through the traditional sort of like shoe contract, like, you know, model that people have been glued to for so long, I guess, what have you sort of realized through this contract negotiation process mm-hmm. and all that kind of stuff about how much you might have been missing out on beforehand?
Yeah. Well, first of all, the other lucky thing was just the timing with Lululemon. You know, they decided that this was their chance or this was the right time for them to start investing in our sport. And, mm-hmm. you know, they've never sponsored anyone like me. So I think for them to come in and be like, this is a big move for us. And it, you know, the stars kind of aligned in that regard. And shout out to Pat Jeffers for DMing me on Instagram to tell me that Lululemon was making that kind of move and be like, you need to, cause we had talked to them mm-hmm. back in December and they're like, like we do these like local ambassador thingies. Like we're not into it right now. But yeah, I think I do more than just like run. Right. And I think a lot of runners, especially, I mean, even people, no shade, but like people on the Bowerman Track Club, have, you know, they make fun of me or tease me, you know, sometimes in a loving way, mostly in a loving way, I think, about what I do, like, on social media. But I think a lot of them I've noticed have been like, oh, like, I kind of should probably maybe start thinking about marketing myself a little bit. And you see now, you see some of them doing, you know, oh, now I have like a protein sponsor or whatever, and they're starting to post, they're asking our team photographer to like take pictures of them with their new like CBD sponsor and stuff, and I'm like, now you think it's important. But I think if track and field athletes are going to, you know, like support themselves and are gonna like stay, you know, relevant, they're gonna have to figure out how to do some of that mm-hmm. stuff outside of just run, like just shut up and run and do your sport and win, and then just if you're just successful on the track, like that's not enough anymore. You have to mm-hmm. do more than that. You have to be a full person. You have to like show your personality and be someone that people are interested in following and being a fan of. Otherwise, like you're not selling anything. You're doing awesome stuff, but you're not the value, your value to a brand is just not as high, and which is fine. You can do it that way, but you're just not going to, you're not going to be as lucrative. Mm-hmm. You can probably still get like a basic shoe deal, but that's probably not going to be as much as it was in the past. And you're not going to be able to, you know, get anything on top of that.
Yeah.
So, yeah, but I think people are getting it now. I don't know. It seems like people are kind of, okay, I'm going to like figure out how to market myself a little better.
I was one of the people who made fun of you for having, you know, 9 contests in a row. And I was like, Colleen, I'm 0-10 on your contest. Like, just send me a signed postcard or something like that. But in the end, like, it did work.
Engagement rates were up.
Exactly. And like, those are just like, it's just an extra thing that like, it doesn't take too much of an effort. But to dip your toes in sort of that area, it does sort of add to this benefit that now you are capitalizing on. So in the long run, it was sort of a good move. And, you know, in aside from just like breaking the traditional mold of sponsorships, I guess the next sort of barrier that needs to sort of be broken within the sport is, you know, knowing the numbers and that kind mm-hmm. of stuff. And there's just so many NDAs that are tied to things. And like, I'm not asking you here to tell me straight up how much this contract is worth, but in a way, I guess sort of like, how was it more than I guess like what the final offer you got was?
Or
like, what do you think you can say? Right.
Look,
now?
Nike was trying to offer me less than what they offered me when I came out of college, which to me was just a slap in the face. I was like, I've made the Olympic team. I'm pretty much, you know, like, not to sound cocky, but like, I'm probably going to make another Olympic team. I've made 5 USA teams since I graduated. How could I possibly be worth less than I was when I came out of college? Mm-hmm. And so they, you know, they were able to come up a little bit when I straight up was like, no, like we can't, that's not a starting point. And they came up a little bit, but I'm still making almost 3 times what that was with the same bonus structure, like with the same incentives, and no reduction. So now I don't have to worry about, oh, you didn't race 10 races this year. Yeah. Like, I raced 8, you know, like who really cares? And, oh, I didn't make it up by doing like the turkey trot, the local turkey trot to get my 10th race. But Lululemon doesn't, well, they're not like count ticky tacky counting every little. They want me to be happy. They want me to live the values that mm-hmm. their brand holds to be, you know, important, which I also believe in and stand behind. And just be a good ambassador for their brand, which I always felt like I did for Nike. I always felt like I was a good ambassador for their brand, but it just was never enough. Like it's never, it's not enough. So yeah, it was just like, if I'm not going to be with Nike, I have to do something outside the box and something mm-hmm. that is female focused, something that's really true to me and my own brand and like what I care about and is more focused on me as a whole person and, you know, not just focused on performance.
How important was that component for you? Because it was one of the things in sort of like these little teases you've had over the past couple weeks. It was like, you're going to be working with a company that is very sort of female focused and driven. It's kind of a coincidence that we're recording this on the day that, you know, Simone Biles comes out with her announcement that she's also leaving Nike for
so
Athleta.
Cool.
and on her way out sort of says this, like, that she's moving towards a company that aligns more with her own values and other ways that that company is going to be investing in her and her initiatives. Yeah. And so it's just such
cool.
The timing is hilarious. But I guess how important was the female driven component for you?
Huge. I mean, like, they were great for me when I was a young athlete and I didn't have any credibility mm-hmm. myself, and I have no regrets about going there. The team was amazing. Like, can't reiterate enough about how much I, you know, am grateful for the experience that I had there with the Bowerman Track Club and Jerry and Shalane and Pascal, and that helped me grow as an athlete so much. Like, I was just following Emily Infeld and Shalane Flanagan around my first year when I had no idea what I was doing, and couldn't have asked for a better setup. Like, couldn't have asked for a better, you know, introduction in how to be a pro athlete when mm-hmm. I was just out of college. But, you know, now I'm 28 and, like, I know myself, and I know what I care about. And, you know, I don't want to just, like, say the right things anymore. Like, I want to be able to be doing the right things and really make an impact on, like, hopefully on our whole sport and mm-hmm. open up, you know, other, hey, like, it doesn't have to be this way. Like, we can do it another way if we want to, and just kind of, you know, be chipping away at that. That's kind of what Allison did. And hopefully I can help just, like, chip away at some of this old method of doing things that just doesn't work for everyone, and try and figure out other ways to do it.
Mm-hmm. I'm nervous for you, just kind of just based off this conversation. Like, you're never going to get invited to the pre-classic anymore. So, like, but it sounds like those things aren't going to be as important to you going forward.
Yeah, I mean, look, I still have all the same performance goals. I would just say none of the performance fears anymore. Like, none of the, if you don't do this, you won't mm-hmm. have a livelihood anymore. I still have the same desires, but it's like, oh, I sound like I'm on The Bachelor right now or Bachelorette, but I'm doing it for the right reasons.
That's a good line. I was waiting for it. Yeah.
Like, that is what they say about every, oh, he's not here for the right reasons. But I'm like, I literally, it's true though. You don't want to be afraid when you get on the starting line that, like, if I don't rank in the top 10 in the world this year, I'm going to be reduced and I won't be able to, like, afford my life anymore. Mm-hmm. Like, that's no way to live. Or, like, I don't think you get the most out of yourself, like, performance-wise.
Yeah.
Like, racing and thinking like that. You make bad decisions. Like, you make bad decisions about your health or, like, your racing schedule or your training even. Like, you know, not backing off when maybe you're, like, starting to battle an injury. And you're like, but I can't back off because I have to get gear up for this race. Because if I don't, like, mm-hmm. you know, my livelihood is at stake. So I think it's just, like, a healthier way to approach, like, training and, you know, life choices.
Yeah, because, I mean, I kind of, you've done a great job the last couple of years making these, you know, U.S. teams that go on to compete at Worlds and the Olympics. But I feel like in the month leading up to it, we see a lot of you in the pool. And it's kind of like a head scratcher to the pundits and the experts mm-hmm. being like, is Colleen, like, even...
I recently went back and watched the Olympic trials race, actually, and the announcer is, like, talking about me as, like, a mermaid and stuff. And I was like, yeah, because I had a stress reaction in my femur and I didn't start running again until, like, 10 weeks before the trials. Oh my God. And look, to be honest, like, a lot of that stuff is, like, a lot of the injury stuff, I'm not going to, like, expect to, like, switch teams and, like, never get injured mm-hmm. again, because some of it is just, like, my body hates me sometimes. And there's not, like, no one at, you know, Bowerman Track Club is responsible for my injuries, but no one besides me is responsible for that. So I'm not trying to say that, like, now I'm never going to get injured again. But I hope that I can make kind of smarter decisions just based on, like, what I need. Also working with a coach who is coaching me. He's not coaching 12 women that I work out with. You know, he tailors everything mm-hmm. to exactly what I need. And if we need to move the workout by a day, we move the workout by a day. Like, it just, if that also feels like it's going to be a better setup for doing the right thing for, you know, for me.
What about training partners? I mean, that's got to be a component mm-hmm. that
Yeah, it's interesting. So far, I've done a little bit of work with the Portland State Boys, which is really fun, actually. I kind of enjoy...
Because the PRs, you've got faster PRs, right?
Well, we have a couple of steeple guys that have run right around 9 minutes, actually, which is really nice. We're hoping that both of them can break 9 minutes this season. But Josh, one of our steeple guys, just ran the school PR a few weeks ago, and I'm going to get it wrong because I'm bad with numbers, but I think it was like... maybe like 9:05 or 9:07. So he's close, which is, I mean, I've run 9:10, so I'm right there. Would be great to, to kind of break that barrier along with them. But, so yeah, right now just looking at guys, I'm also trying to maybe move out of Portland after, talking about like the fall now, but, plenty of people that I've talked to in LA about, mostly dudes, like, you know, getting male pacers. But I actually think that could be kind of fun because you get pushed and you have company and you're not out there solo. But it takes away a little bit of that, like, not that it's unhealthy competition, but like sometimes the competitive factor when you're training with girls can be a little bit like, it can be kind of stressful. And so I think it's just different when you get to work together and like train together, but you know you're not gonna toe the line with that person.
Yeah
It's just a little bit different, but so I kind of like that.
We're a couple weeks out from, well, I mean, this is late April, but we're less than 60 days out as we're recording this from the Olympic trials. How are you feeling, you know, for that, given that I've always kind of, I'm very vocal, I think anytime I talk about the steeplechase, being that the big three is you, Courtney Frerichs, and Emma Coburn. And beyond that, there's a little bit of a gap. Allie Ostrander made the team, you know, at Worlds for 2019. But there is a gap there. And I guess, like, how do you view it, I guess, with a couple weeks to go?
Yeah. You know, one thing I will say about that is I'm bummed that there's not more, like, when I was in college, it was like me and Leah. We had the good, like this good rivalry battle going on.
And she's coming back. Yeah,
she is. Yeah. I saw she recently ran a steeple, which is cool. I know she hasn't done one in a while. And then Courtney came up, you know, she was right on our heels, like our senior year. And then she broke the collegiate record the next year. And it felt like women's steeplechases, like really gaining momentum. And then I'm like, oh, where did it go? We lost our momentum. I don't know what happened. And I'm not sure if, like, maybe, I mean, everything is just, you know, comes in waves or whatever. And, like, it seems like we're maybe in a little bit of a lull at, like, the collegiate level to try and.
Plus, a pandemic just took away all the opportunities.
True. So maybe we'll see. Like, maybe next year it'll be, like, a big breakout. But so, yeah, it's double. It's kind of the one side. It makes me feel good that I'm, like, you know, I can be like, I don't want to even guess a percentage, but I can be like not 100% fit and go to the trials and know that I'm like, I'll still be a pretty good shot of making the team still, which makes me feel a little more relaxed about training and like that I'm not like super stressed out. Like in 2016, I was like, I have to be 110% to make this team. And that was a lot more stressful to go into it, knowing that like anything could happen on race day, right?
Yeah.
Like, so many things could go wrong. And if you're a little bit off your game, you have to wait another 4 years. So it takes a little bit of the pressure off to be like, I just have to have a pretty like decent day and I'll be okay. So that's kind of nice, but I also kind of missed like the, you got to be on top of your game. Kind of like, I kind of thrive off that competition sometimes.
Don't get too confident. Cause it's like,
I know that it's Olympic year and anything can happen, but in 2016, I legit was like, I have an outside like chance of making this team. It was such a different like way to go.
Was that the one where it came down to the last lap?
Yeah. I mean, it was, so I was in third, the last lap, it was Emma and then Stephanie Garcia and then me. And then Courtney and I both went around Stephanie Garcia right after the last water pit.
Yes.
And then she fell in the barrier and it was Emma and then Courtney and then me in the finish. But it was, I mean, you know, Like, it was a good race.
And the year before that, I think Leah was, like, the one who was also just, like, ended up being fourth, right? Or, like, got hurt on the last water barrier, right?
Yeah. So, what was it? It was...
15 going for the Beijing team.
Yeah, you're right. It was for the Beijing team. Wow. I've had some very tumultuous, crazy racing at the old Hayward Field. And the last lap of the steeplechase trying to make a team or win a championship. There's always, like, some crazy shit that happens.
Yeah, hopefully...
I've knocked on wood, always ended up on the right side of that, but I'm literally knocking on a wood table. You never know with the steeplechase. Anything, you know, just goes to show anything can happen.
Mm-hmm. The fun part, I guess, about, like, with the Bowerman team was just sort of that everyone... like 90% of the team ends up going to Worlds. Mm-hmm. And there's, like, this camaraderie about, like, the shared goal. It was like, let's lift each other to all, you know, hopefully make this team sort of mm-hmm. together. It's awkward if you don't and, like, yeah. have to sort of stay
and
home.
It's getting more awkward as the group gets bigger and there's right. more people in the same event. And it's like, oh, there's three of us training together for 5K.
Oh, the men's 5K.
Only three spots at the team. Like, yeah. Oh, that's got to, like... That's tough. And that's just bound to happen as it gets bigger and then, you know.
Do you miss just sort of that team aspect of it?
I do miss. I mean, you know, I can't lie. Of course, I do miss, like, going on easy runs with them and stuff, especially, like, just, like, the day-to-day stuff. I think it'll be interesting it's going to take probably a year to even, and even after I, like, would move to LA, mm-hmm. it's going to take more time to, like, figure out my kind of rhythm and have my, okay, I do this type of workout with these people and I can hop in with this run club on Saturday for their morning, you know, group run and kind of, like, get into my new rhythm. But I also, like, prepared myself for this. I told myself, okay, after you leave the team and when you feel lonely and sad for yourself and want to complain, remember all the reasons. I had to, like, write down all the reasons why I made that decision to be like, you know, cause when you were in the group and train, like, these were your complaints and now you're complaining on the other, you know, you have to kind of realize, that I'm never going to have it exactly perfect, exactly the mm-hmm. way I want it. But what do you trade off? Like, what's the, you know, what are you willing to give and take? And I think at the end of the day, like, being with Kevin, being with, you know, a sponsor who really cares about me and values me as a person and helps going to help me with my kind of other passions and initiatives and wants to help me make a difference kind of in the world and in the sport, like, those, it's worth the trade-off. Like, it's completely worth it.
Yeah. So you're eventually, like, a move to LA. Mm-hmm. What is sort of, like, the expectation outside of, you know, representing the brand at, you know, on the track and in competition, but what are some of these other things that, I guess, like, Lululemon wants you to be involved in? And because, I mean, moving to a hub like LA there's tons of potential there being in an actual sort of city. And I feel like with professional runners so many times, I mean, you were on the other side of things at this point previously where it's all training and, like, the general sort of running community doesn't get to have that sort of, like, one-on-one interaction and experience with people. Mm-hmm. Not that New York City is, like, the best place, it's not an ideal place for, like, a professional runner to train, but if there was, like, a pro team here, there's so many clubs and community and, like, groups that, like, can interact with, like, a professional runner or runner, like, groups. LA has that potential.
That sometimes when I come here, I was too busy this time. So for everyone who reached out to me to ask me to run with their run crew, I was here and I haven't been able to accept any of them yet. I apologize because I love doing that. Like, when I come to New York and there's so many run, mm-hmm. like, run crews here, but that's true too in LA. There's a lot of run crews there.
Are you going to get involved in that sphere? I mean, is there, like, what else is there going to be to this Lulu deal? Because, and how's it sort of structured? Like, there's the athlete component to it too, but are there other things that they're looking for?
Yeah, I think it sounds like, and, you know, I'm only a couple weeks in now to my relationship with them, so I'm still meeting the team mm-hmm. and figuring out how everything works, meeting a lot of ex-Nike people, which has been cool. It sounds like one thing that they like to do a lot without a global pandemic is they do like events, like in-person things, like mm-hmm. like retreats and all kinds of cool in-person stuff, which I'm like, that's my jam, like that's where I live, like in actually interacting with people. Like if I wanted to do like do a braid bar, I had to basically, it was a long story, I tried to host a braid bar in a Nike store and they were like no, and then I tried to host it somewhere else and they didn't approve of that space. With Lululemon, it'll be like,
I remember that.
It was a whole debacle. It was a nightmare,
which is like, it's so crazy because like, something like that is so
tiny.
I'm gonna
bring 200 girls into your store
and it's so well intentioned.
We just didn't click, like we never, that's just such a good example of like that we never aligned on like mm-hmm. what we wanted the relationship to be like, or what, you know, what we cared about or what was worth our time and energy. Like it just wasn't, they weren't interested in that. Mm-hmm. Whereas like we haven't even, you know, we haven't planned anything, but I know that if I, you know, I'm here somewhere for a race and I want to plan a braid bar, like they'd be so, Lululemon would be so down for that. And how can we elevate that? How can we even take your idea and even make it bigger, make it better, make it more meaningful to that group of people who are going to be there for that experience? So I think I'm most excited for, you know, doing in-person things with them.
Yeah, hopefully that comes back soon.
I know, everyone's most excited about in-person things probably, but yeah.
I noticed the Whoop band, I have mine on. Nice. You've been working with them for a bit, right?
I'm actually, I'm talking about working with them more formally. I've been wearing the Whoop for like, I don't know, since September. And really liking it. The only issue is where the heck do I put it? I mean, I'm sure you've had this. Do you have a watch? Yep. What do you do with it?
I do
watch on one side,
watch on my left, and then Whoop on my right.
On the right. That's what I do too.
People ask me about it all the time, and I'm like, it's not two watches. I'm not a geek like that or anything like that. But
it looks a little awkward, but I just rock it. Yeah.
So Whoop is sponsoring this podcast.
Oh, they are. That's awesome. I didn't know that.
Recovery tips. How do you get that sleep and recovery up to the 90s? Because I struggle with it from time to time. I try and monitor it as close as I can, but, what do you tend to do?
Like any CBD or anything?
No, I haven't. But here, I guess this is your chance to also like plug a CBD company, I guess. Look at this.
With Beam. I work with Beam. They are a CBD company that does, they do hydration stuff too, but they do like the capsules and then they have like mm-hmm. a sleep powder. I think a lot of people already know like the basics about like try and go. Actually, I think the biggest kind of factor is going to bed and waking up like around the same time, like just being consistent with your sleep schedule.
Yeah.
A lot of people are not good with that, but I think that's probably the easiest, like that's the maybe mm-hmm. not easy, but like the biggest no cost, like effective way to improve your sleep score is you're like, oh, I'm gonna catch up on sleep, I'm gonna, you know, go to bed at 10 and wake up at 10, and then, you know, that's on the weekend, but like during the week you wake up at like 5:30, that messes you up. You have to be consistent with it, which I know is tough. My one suggestion there would be to get a dog who's hungry at 6 a.m. She'll wake your ass up every day at 6 to feed her, and you don't even need an alarm clock anymore.
So
I've got one you can borrow if you need one. Her name is Pi. She's the best.
She's got an Instagram account too,
she
right?
She does have her own Instagram and her own sponsor.
Wow.
Shout out to Pet Plate.
I mean, it just goes to show how much of a, you know, you've got all these different avenues now to kind of work with. I mean, your wrist has been freed up. Eyewear probably.
So exciting.
And
yeah.
Like, so there's tons of potential there. And I think one thing that you mentioned your dog, you mentioned your relationship a couple times before this too, it's sort of like going forward, I guess mental health wise, like that's mm-hmm. also just an improvement so far.
Yeah.
It sounds like it to me.
Yeah, totally. And that's something that I think only a couple years ago I started really kind of valuing or like really giving credit. I started working with a mental coach, therapist, sports psych, whatever you want to, I call my mental coach, like I have my running coach and I have my mental coach, Dr. Mondo. And then about a year and a half ago, Dr. Mondo came to me with another friend, mutual friend of ours, Jimmy Spencer, and they were like, we're starting a company. It's going to be around mental health for, it's going to start with elite athletes, and then we're going to figure out how to bring mental health services to the people who need it the most in underserved communities who, you know, they have real trauma, but for whatever reason, whether it's access or just stigma, like aren't getting mental health services. And we really think that we can use athletes as being like the cool factor, mm-hmm. get them kind of into it, and then, you know, be able to go from there. Like, we want you to be on board. I was like, hell yeah, like, let's, I'm totally about this, which is so funny. Now I'm the founding athlete of a company called Cheat Code.
Nice.
And we are, I think it's at the Cheat Code, the handle is on my profile. And yeah, but it's so funny, maybe 3 years ago, I would have been like, what? Like, yeah. No, that's not me. I, you know, I don't have any mental problems. But, you know, I think in my old, wise old age now, I realize that, like, everybody has issues and everybody has things that they can work on to make them a better person. Which, to me, if I'm more stable and happy and kind of have my shit together as a person, that only makes me a better athlete and, you know, a better teammate and a better better girlfriend and, you know, a better athlete to be sponsored and a better athlete to be coached and all those things.
I thought Meb was really good at plugging sponsors. You just do a seamless sort of job with it. It's really impressive.
Really pitched me, you know, a softball with the, you brought up the mental health thing. I was like, oh yeah.
It's very impressive. And I'm excited for all these opportunities that have come up for you. I think it's good. And I think a lot of people are just going to just appreciate just the general sort of honesty that you bring. And I'm looking forward to seeing what's ahead for you. Definitely. A spicier Colleen Quigley than the first time I think we've done a podcast together.
You know, I'm always an open book, and I just think it's important that people, you know. And I talked about this with someone else the other day that when a company is so big, I think there's that, like, they can get away with anything kind of thing. And that kind of makes me mad. Like, no, they can't treat women and people the way that, and athletes the way that they do and get away with it without repercussions. Mm-hmm. Like, that doesn't seem fair. And, you know, I think everyone knows how to, like, get better and change and kind of, mend mistakes, but when there's not any, like, we made a mistake, we want to do better, it doesn't seem fair. It's like, no, you have to, like, kind of pay the price for what you did anyway. So I'm always an open book, and I hope that people are excited to go along that journey with me, and just follow me for what's next.
Awesome. Well, thanks so much for doing this, Colleen.
Thank you.
Subscribe to the Sidious Mag newsletter to get all of your running news in your inbox from me. I try and drop my knowledge with you weekly on all the best results, performances, and events that happen. And if you're digging all the content and want to show your support for Sidious, hit us with a couple bucks and pledge your support on Patreon over at patreon.com/SidiousMag. Your help gets us to events, covers hosting expenses, and helps us plan out bigger projects for the future. Big thanks to Whoop for coming on as the new title sponsor of the Sidious Mag podcast. Head on over to Whoop, which is whoop.com, and enter Sidious at checkout to save 15% off. Sleep better, recover faster, and run faster. Get to that next starting line healthy with Whoop. I just got a brand new Whoop strap to match my new kit for the Trials of Miles meet when I go up against Malcolm Gladwell. You can watch that event live on the Sidious Mag YouTube channel. Nikki Hiltz, Clayton Murphy, Johnny Gregoric, Isaac Updike, and Rebecca Mera were some of the names that I saw in the early entries for the meet. So stay tuned for more. That's all I've got. I've been your host, Chris Chavez, wishing you some happy and healthy running. Legs are feeling good.